This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth.
And I'm Alethea Kasman. The presidential election saw a major shakeup this week. President Joe Biden took the extraordinary step of withdrawing his candidacy for the November election and endorsed his vice president, Kamala Harris, to be the Democratic nominee a month before the national convention and roughly 100 days before the general election.
Talk about a time crunch. It was a week of a lot of drama. And once Biden announced he was no longer running, the first question was, will Dems coalesce around Harris? Well, they have. Now the focus is on who Harris will pick as her vice president. I think it's safe to say that Governor Gretchen Whitmer is a non-starter, despite decades of an all-male ticket. An all-female ticket appears to be a step too far for decision makers, I think.
True, although quick shout out to 2018 when Michigan ran female candidates for all statewide offices.
This is true.
To much criticism then, saying there's a lack of balance and this, you know, they won't all be able to win. And, you know, look at who our Secretary of State, Governor, and Attorney General are now. But moving on, there's also the issue of Whitmer repeatedly saying she will not be pursuing any office while still governor, be that president or vice president. Gongwer and other reporters have politely been harassing the governor all week on if she's being considered for the VP slot, and she has rejected the notion repeatedly.
Are you prepared to take the vice presidency if it's offered, ma'am?
No, I'm not planning to go anywhere.
So if they offer it, you will not take it?
I am not leaving Michigan. I'm proud to be the governor of Michigan. I've been consistent. I know everyone is always suspicious and asking this question over and over again. I know you're doing your job. I'm not going anywhere.
So the speculation over the Veep stakes continues for now, though I think one thing that a lot of people can agree on is that Harris really needs a Midwesterner for her running mate. And Alethea, you had a really interesting suggestion about who would be a good choice for Harris.
Well, I can't take full credit. I did see some internet rumblings, which are always very reliable, about Michigan's own U.S. Senator Gary Peters potentially being on Harris's list. However, I have not seen any actual reporting backing this up. There's potential, though, that we could still see another Michigander. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is also on the list. I have seen many mentions of Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro and Arizona U.S. Senator Mark Kelly. I think the bigger issue that is outside of being a Midwestern candidate is a candidate who can help in a swing state. So Midwestern states are on that list, but, you know, Arizona would be a solid one, too.
And Harris appears to have the delegates she needs for the nomination, with Michigan's officially endorsing her on Tuesday, and several other states have done so already. The race for running mate is next, and with the national convention less than a month away, she has to make this choice fast.
Yeah, so we really only have weeks here as Dems continue to pore over data to determine what the Biden-Harris switch means to them. At the same time, Republicans are now trying to pivot their message after spending more than a year tailoring their plans toward a Trump-Biden race. We may also see some challenges to Harris's ballot access, but since Democrats have not yet officially nominated Biden, I don't think we'll see anything serious there.
Let the Trump-Harris race begin. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, we're going to be joined by former Representative Adam Zemke from Ann Arbor, who is also the current chair of the 6th Congressional District Democrats. You're not going to want to miss that. We're talking more Veep stakes. We're talking more Whitmer. We're talking more what is going on with these Democrats. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Mishmash. I'm Alethea Kasman.
And I'm Shayna Roth. Today, we are joined by former Representative Adam Zemke from Ann Arbor, the current chair of the 6th Congressional District Democrats. Adam, welcome to Mishmash.
Excellent. Thank you for having me. It's good to see you both again.
So, Adam, you were a staunch supporter of President Joe Biden. You were very outspoken, you know, in the weeks before he dropped out that he, you know, didn't have to, and he, you know, was the Democratic candidate to win. Why was that? Why do you feel so strongly?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, I've certainly not been around politics as long as some, but I've been around politics long enough to know that that one, you know, unless there is a particularly galling reason, which in there definitely is not in the case of President Biden, you support the leader of the party. You support the vision that they've set out. And I think, you know, frankly, the Biden-Harris administration has had a very successful last 4 years, and we should be championing that. And I thought that having a bad debate brought up this discussion around cognitive decline. I was supportive of him, but I really watched afterwards to make sure I wasn't just second guessing or if it was something serious. And I watched his NATO Q&A. That was really what did it for me. That hour long Q&A that was off the cuff that he did with reporters. I watched all of that intently, and I sent out a tweet afterwards saying, like, I didn't see any cognitive decline at all. I thought he was very sharp on policy. And so I continue to see people sort of piling on. And I thought it was just completely ridiculous, completely disrespectful to somebody who's led the country for the last 4 years and been so successful on priorities that matter to us as Democrats. And I also thought it was just terrible politics. And essentially, you know, in politics, if you want to believe that you are going to lose, well, you can definitely create that scenario. And I was pretty hell-bent and determined that I didn't want to see us create that scenario.
I want to go a little off script here because you mentioned something that I find very interesting in all of this, which is that the president is the leader of the party. In this case, the president is the leader of the Democratic Party. Is that how it should be? Do you think that that system works? I've heard some people in different podcasts, news organizations, things like that, wondering if maybe there needs to be some more separation between the leader of the party and the actual president or candidate in order to make sure that there's not like a sort of coronation or that you get more ideas or that you get, you know, younger people involved. What is your take on that?
Well, I use the phrase leader of the party in the sense that he's the highest ranking member of the party, right? You know, we're all sort of falling. He's not technically the leader of the party. Is probably Jamie Harrison, if you want to get, into the mix. But, as head of the DNC, and obviously in Michigan, DNC has it's a decentralized organization. So there's a lot of reliance on state parties. And so Lavora obviously is our leader here in Michigan. And frankly, congressional districts and the counties are quite decentralized, and the state party relies on their vision as well. So, you know, I use that term more as a descriptor that if people are looking to Democrats as to what we are doing, what we are championing, then certainly the highest ranking member, the president in our case today, is going to be right at the top. That's sort of what I meant by the term the leader. To answer your question, I think one of the beauties of the Democratic Party, but also one of the things that, you know, just politically we deal with every time is that we're Big Ten. You know, we are a coalition. You often hear that phrase used to describe what the Democratic Party has looked like. We are a coalition of different constituencies that come together with shared values, but we also have individually unique characteristics as part of each of those constituencies. And so, you know, we argue a lot and we fight over nuances, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's part of what makes the Democratic Party unique. And what has made us successful is that we are inclusive and bring in people with differing opinions, and then we argue. And I just want to make sure that we're not arguing over who's going to be running for president in July. That politically does not suit anyone. If we want to win the election, at least, and I very much want to prevent Donald Trump from winning the election.
Well, speaking of that arguing, I mean, how did you feel as more and more Democrats were coming forward and saying that Biden needed to step down?
Well, you know, I thought it was very hurtful, frankly. But I also want—I don't want to emphasize—I don't want to give too much credit to those who came forward, because it's really a small number in the grand scheme of things. You know, there are well over 200 members of Democratic members of the U.S. House. I think we had at its peak 30. You know, it's like 7-8%, 10% of the congressional delegation. It was a very small number in the grand scheme of things. The rest of the delegations, the House and the Senate, as well as a huge number of activists in states throughout the nation, supported the president in his reelection bid. And I want to sort of say that I thought the way he decided to go about stepping away from that bid really was just very politically smart and very important to bringing his supporters, all of those people, not the small number of people who were screaming for him to get out of the race, but bring all of the people who were with him on board to Vice President Harris. I mean, I think over the last 72 hours, I don't know, it's been a long week. It's been a long last month, frankly. Over the last, 72 hours or so, we have just seen in just remarkable unanimity and unity between the people who wanted the president to step aside and the people who were supporters of the president continuing his reelection bid. I think that's a strong testament to not only his leadership, which is completely selfless, and makes me literally, I felt like I teared up a little bit when I got the news alert about him stepping away. But the immediate endorsement of Vice President Harris as his direction that he thought she would be best to lead the country and be best to beat Donald Trump is really the reason why we've seen that unity. And so I give both Vice President Harris, especially in her campaign kickoff speech. I don't know if it was a kickoff speech, the one she did yesterday in Wisconsin, was just phenomenal. But also, up to that point, it was largely what President Biden had indicated on Sunday. And I think that's really what helped unite people. And so we're seeing great energy right now. Thousands of volunteers across the country. I think maybe hundreds of thousands. I don't know what the number is up to now, but certainly the thousands in Michigan, I know for sure, are volunteering now for the Harris campaign, and so I think we owe President Biden and Vice President Harris just a huge degree of credit for how they've handled this, and we're going to see the speech tonight. President Biden's being on at 8 o'clock Eastern time. I'm very interested in tuning into that, seeing what he has to say. And obviously we'll continue to hear from Vice President Harris as she is marching towards the DNC convention next month.
So it's been weeks of, Democrats sort of disagreeing. Like you said, it was a small number, but the disagreement was there, while Republicans have just been able to look super united in the last 3 weeks to a month. So, what's it like being so united right now? It seems like a very good time for the Democrats at the moment.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, I do want to say that I think that there was some lopsided coverage around the critique of President Biden over the last 4 weeks, and the lack of critique over the Republican Party and former President Trump. But to answer your question directly, it feels exciting, and I say that not because of my own excitement, because I was such a strong supporter. So I did literally take a gasp a little bit when I read that news alert about him stepping away. But just hearing from people, seeing the excitement, seeing how Vice President Harris has approached the campaign staff, which, I've worked on campaigns before, I've run campaigns, I've run for office, the staff work tirelessly. And it's often the people who are in these small state offices or offices set up around states that are doing just a tremendous amount of work. If I were in their position, they're often young. They don't, this might be their first political job. And they're looking to get into this, into politics and try and change the world. And to have that, shift, that uneasiness, that's got to be pretty scary. And so now we feel this like tremendous energy. And I think, and we saw this tremendous support. You know, I don't know if you saw that when Vice President Harris stopped at that their headquarters in Wilmington, and they did the call with President Biden. I listened to all of that, and I listened to her comments afterwards. And I just feel like they have approached this in such a smart and deliberate way, and not only energized the people across the country who are maybe Democrats or maybe independents who are willing to support Vice President Harris for president, but also the staff. They have brought all those people together who are working 12, 15 hours a day for not nearly enough pay as they deserve, and they're going to keep them on board. And I think that is just one of the smartest moves I've ever seen. And I don't know if this was all planned out and we're all just, you know, seeing it. You know, there's definitely some talk that that the president has been planning this for a while, you know, and just waited until after the RNC so that he could take all the punches and smooth the way for Vice President Harris to become the nominee. There's, you know, never consider myself a conspiracy theorist, but there's definitely some interesting thoughts that are going on around there. And we probably never know, you know, the reality is when he decided. But I think since that decision on Sunday, we could not have asked for this to have gone better. I am really impressed with everybody and excited. We're seeing these new volunteers. The fundraising has just been phenomenal. And you know, there are tons of events that we're sending out that campaign operation, because it is the same campaign staff largely, where they were able to turn on a dime. It's just really been really impressive.
So Harris is looking for a vice president. That's sort of the next big step for Democrats. Who is your pick, and what should Harris be looking for in a running mate?
So I think there's a lot of people who will comment on this, and I definitely, especially over the last 4 weeks, I'm going to stay away from commenting or trying to serve as a pundit, because I have discovered that maybe I don't, I'm not in the same space. So I want to reserve the speculation. I'll say, first of all, that, Vice President Harris is more than capable and smart at choosing a vice president to serve as her on the ticket with her. And I trust that she will make a smart decision on that. I think that she has had the experience that we can easily say that. And then certainly the last 72 hours just reinforces that statement. So that said, I will say there's a lot of reasons that we should be looking at the same qualifications that a lot of folks in the news are talking about, right? A Midwestern leader, somebody who supports and appeals to quote unquote Rust Belt. I hate that term, frankly, but the Rust Belt Midwest voters. I think there's a lot of examples of that. We certainly have one here in Michigan with Governor Whitmer. And there are other examples in other states across the country, too. You know, I think we need somebody who will be able to go toe-to-toe with J.D. Vance, Senator Vance, and be able to really speak to the people that I think he proclaims to represent, given his past literary work. But I think there are others that can probably speak to them and have those relationships as well in a more effective way. And so so I think that's the type of profile we're looking at. I think that's that I think a lot of folks are looking at least. And I would agree with that profile. I think that's a good match for Vice President Harris. And will help support the ticket. There's also folks, you know, that are not from the Midwest. We have heard about Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona. I think he brings a unique, very unique profile to the ticket, given his amazing wife, former Representative Gabby Giffords, and all their work around preventing gun violence, and also the fact that he has this as an engineer. I always get giddy about astronauts, and I think a lot of people do. I mean, astronaut as a profession is a very cool very cool profession that even as little kids, you know, people look up to and aspire to. And so he's got that going for him too. So not just, you know, Midwest, I think there are a lot of good options out there. And I'll say, this is probably the first time I can recall where we have had this many good options. You know, it hasn't always been like this. We did lose a lot of state legislatures. We lost a lot of governors in recent past, but we have really built up a strong bench on the Democratic side of state level leaders and you know, folks in the Senate and the House who can move up and serve as that farm team. That's a testament to a lot of people on the ground and in these associations that have worked on that for the last decade. So it's good. A lot of good options out there. I think there are many that we cannot go wrong with.
So we are obviously in Michigan, so we would be remiss not to talk about Governor Whitmer and the attention, you know, she received even before Harris, you know, officially was sort of coalesced around. We know she's going to be the nominee at this point, so there's not going to be a race for that. But we're still hearing Whitmer rumblings for VP. She's saying no, essentially. You know, why would that be a realistic scenario or not?
That having Governor Whitmer serve as VP. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at Governor Whitmer's profile, like just at sort of the things that let's just put it this way. If you look at like positives and negatives around profiles for all these candidates that are being talked about, you know, and being supposedly vetted, asked to submit their information, you know, there are several things that are common characteristics that make a lot of sense to me. You know, the Rust Belt voter appeal, the ability to maybe speak to folks that Vice President Harris may not as naturally speak to or just on brand represent. Governor Whitmer certainly it fits that bill very well. A lot of success stories here in Michigan over the last 6 years, I guess is how long it's been here. It seems like politics just every day gets longer. a lot of success stories here in Michigan that Governor Whitmer can speak to and show her success on. I think the other thing too is that, you know, we got a great LG in Lieutenant Governor Gilchrist, who can step in, you know. So one of the political pieces of calculus here is that we've got to always make sure that if you're taking a governor, that we don't have a lieutenant governor who is of the other party, who flips the state and starts doing other things. And so there are some examples of names that have been floated where you do have, you know, the LG and the governor running separately, and so in some cases you have different parties. We don't have that here in Michigan, so that's another positive going for Governor Whitmer. And then, of course, the Democratic trifecta that exists in the legislature, you know, so strong Democratic leadership. So, like, I think just on profile, like, if you were to just take names away and say, here are the, like, four or five, you know, Rust Belt voter appeal, Democratic leadership willing to step in and take over, very low risk of of there being a change in party leadership as a result of the elevation if they win. You know, Governor Whitmer checks literally all those boxes. So she should be, just based on that alone, very competitive. Plus, you know, she's got broad appeal, right? She's just written this book. I haven't read it, but she was in Chelsea right next door, you know, with Jeff Daniels a couple nights ago. And she's got this this just very relatable way of talking to people. I caught the clip around Hulk Hogan, and I don't know the guy she referenced. I was like, man, I'm not up on this. I need to get up on my pro wrestling here. But it was funny, you know, and that's the way I think her personality is. I still remember seeing her one time. I saw her recently casually, and she had this like camouflage Michigangster sweatshirt on. And I was like, one, I need that sweatshirt. Two, that feels just so her. And I think that's just part of that appeal. So just, you know, setting aside all those characteristics, there's this personal appeal. And you know, I think one of the things that should be a consideration, maybe is not being talked about, is there is all this excitement around Vice President Harris with women, Black women, white women, Indian American women, Latino women. There's excitement with young people. There's excitement with older people. You know, she spoke to this in her speech. She talked about the future. And I think that once she nailed, you know, hit the nail on its head with her comments around the future, that that's what that campaign is about. And it's hard to argue that that it doesn't feel like that. I would encourage, if I were to comment on the on a vice president pick, like, we want somebody who carries that excitement too. Like, I actually don't want a balance, if you will. I want to go all in on excitement for a vice president nominee, and I think that's what helps. And so, you know, if we're looking at a vice president, you know, I think that's an important characteristic, somebody who's funny and witty and is engaging. And so when you're talking with them one-on-one, you feel like they're just your neighbor and you guys were having a glass of wine or something. Governor Whitmer certainly fits that bill very well. And so there's a lot of reasons why she should be on their list.
So I kind of hate asking this question, but also feel the need to ask it. You know, I think, you know, we look back on 2016 when Hillary Clinton lost, you know, there was, you know, a lot of expectation that there was going to be the first female president. That did not happen. Yep. Do you think a woman can win the election? I mean, what has changed since 2016? Is this, you know, is this the moment here?
So I think there's a few things that are very important that have changed since 2016. And I was at the convention in Philadelphia when that happened. I was in the House and chairing the House campaign. And I still remember, I wasn't a delegate, so I didn't go in the hall, you know, really, and or on the voting floor or anything. But I remember being outside and walking around or headed outside from the hallway. And there were all these moms with their daughters, these teenage daughters. I still remember this. It was so prevalent. And it just felt different. And it was the first time I really had noticed just that impact. There's sort of, I think, relatable nature of what Hillary Clinton was doing and what she had portrayed to these women. And they're bringing their daughters to share in that experience. That obviously did not, you know, that sort of relatableness, that excitement didn't carry through into the election for a lot of reasons, for some of which I think are just like the lopsided criticism over President Biden's poor debate. I think there's some characteristics that you can tie to. This is but that's her emails, situation that we saw in 2016, when you've got Donald Trump out there being recorded sexually assaulting, talking about sexually assaulting women. And we're sitting here talking about Hillary Clinton's emails. So I think there were a lot of reasons why that didn't work. Now, I'll say to your question, why is this different? I do. And I think it is different. I think it's different because one, Vice President Harris is a different person, right? So she brings different things to the ticket. And it would be completely unfair to characterize two women as being the same because they're running for the same office and their gender is the same. That's ridiculous. But I think the other thing that's important, too, is this. That hindsight is 2020. And in 2016, I think people did think, how could Donald Trump actually win? Look at all of this stuff. And we saw that, you know what? When people show up and they have more supporters than we do, they win the election. Or they had more supporters that voted. They win the election. And the reality is I think people are hell-bent on making sure that that doesn't happen again. And that is part of the reason why we're seeing a shift. I think the other thing, too, is that you've got, like, Trump's entire cabinet won't support him. You've got the Never Trumpers. We've got Jeff Timmer, who's a leader in that movement with the Lincoln Project in our state. You've got this whole degree of folks who are maybe, you know, former Republicans or independents or maybe even slightly leaning right. And they don't want to see a repeat of Donald Trump in the office of the presidency. And so you've got that aspect. That's an additional thing to Vice President Harris's benefit. And I'll say all those folks have all united behind Vice President Harris. We see now Nikki Haley is out there asking for a cease and desist for all of her voters who are now supporting Vice President Harris. Which I think is ridiculous, by the way. You know, her supporters, they supported her. She dropped out. They said part of the reason we're supporting her is because she's not Donald Trump. And so now they're supporting Vice President Harris. I think it's a very smart move on their part. And I think the reality is that they should be able to do all that. So I think it's a combination of hindsight. It's a combination of Vice President Harris is her own person. And she is showing us over the last 4 years, but especially over the last 72 hours, exactly who that person is. And I think we're going to learn a lot more about her. I think there's a lot of appeal there. And I think there is this multitude of people who now are like, we have to prevent Donald Trump from being in the White House. We have to prevent the agenda, the Project 2025 agenda that is crafted by these 65 plus, former Trump appointees from being enacted. And we have to make sure that we save democracy. And that is the way I feel about it, too. I think that word democracy is thrown around a lot. I think it's really about saving America, to be honest, continuing the economic, the social inclusive growth that we've had over the last 4 years. And I think one of the pieces of excitement that I was excited about after President Biden was elected in 2020 was I was like, man, it would be really nice to have America be boring again. And it has felt like that in some cases. You know, it's been we've been able to relax and breathe a little bit because it does seem like politics has just gotten so intense. It's way more intense than I recall when I was in the state house. And so it'd be great to have an awesome, inspiring election, maybe have that inspiration continue, and also just maybe have a little bit of boring. I'm good with that, too.
Adam Zemke, thank you so much for joining us here on Mishmash.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to our guest, Adam Zemke from Ann Arbor. Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station, in collaboration with Gongwer News Service. Mishmash is hosted and produced by me, Shayna Roth, and Gongwer's Zach Gorchow and Alethea Kasban.
Additional production and editing by Hearns Laguerre Jr., mixing, mastering, and music by Sam Bobian.
Our digital team is Dave Kim, Sophia Joswiak, and Jenny Sherman. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. As always, if you listen to this podcast and want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review or comment wherever you listen. You can also subscribe or follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell all your friends about how much you've learned on Mishmash and send them a link. Learn more about Gongwer News Service at gongwer.com.
Remember, we're produced by a public radio station, which means we are listener supported. So if you really, really like this podcast, you can support WDET by going to wdet.org/give. We'll talk to you next week.